Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people who hate reading. This month they're doing grab bags, so James picked Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, along with
Murdoch Mysteries.
This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and that yawn is Ryan Preston. Here's a description of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. A man must struggle to travel home for Thanksgiving with an obnoxious slob of a shower curtain ring salesman as his only companion. This wasn't the first time this style of movie came out. There's been a number of one have came out before. The last one I think Ryan mentioned was it Robert Downey Jr. and the guy I can never remember his name.
Is that Galifianakis?
But he said,
"Oh, that guy. He's gay."
So I'll give this a 3 out of 5. My tastes have changed since the last time I saw this movie. I would probably give this movie a lower rating, but for what this movie is, it's actually pretty good. Just don't dig this type of movie anymore. It is with John Candy, so...
And actually, yeah, it's a half a point.
Yeah, you know, I'll do 3.5 just for the fact that I loved John Candy as a kid. He was on... there's a Canadian TV show he was on. I can never remember the name of it. Brian knows, he's mentioned it before. So James?
You know, I didn't catch this the last time I watched it, but I caught it this time. John Candy threw out in there that he wanted to go to Jamaica.
Oh, you didn't catch that?
I didn't catch that before. I probably did and just didn't think about it. But yeah, it's a kind of nice little thing of Cool Runnings, because that came out that was one of his last movies, if not his last movie. Before he died, but
yeah, it was up there.
Yeah, I think it might have actually been his last actual big movie that he did.
I thought that was it Canadian Bacon? I thought it was one of those movies. Yeah, it was the last one.
Yeah, it was around there. Anyways, but I thought that was a nice little thing. I was like, oh yeah. Anyways, now I give this one an even 3, just because, you know, I mean, it's not the best one that was ever done like this, but. It's one of them up there. I'm not a huge Steve Martin fan, so that kind of deters me a little bit on this one. But I do like John Candy, mostly nostalgic reasons.
Yeah, I agree with the nostalgic. Yeah. I think the difference is between this one and the previous one we mentioned is I like both these guys. Steve Martin in this role, this type of character he does really good at, and John Candy. I'm only a really big fan of Robert Downey Jr.
You know, if I really... picked a movie style like this that I really love. It was See No Evil, Hear No Evil, which is just a fantastic one done in this kind of style where you have the awkward partner type, you know, little struggle thing cruising around doing whatever the hell you want.
So Ryan?
I'm kind of with right there with you, 3.5. I love John Candy and John Candy holds up even to audiences who didn't know him when he was alive. And when Steve Martin isn't ruining, you know, something like Inspector Clouseau, really funny when he's playing a straight man.
I will beat your face for that, Steve Martin.
I don't think Steve Martin really acts anymore, at least not that I've seen.
I think he's basically retired now.
I do think... One of the reasons I give this movie high points, for what it is, it holds up really well. I mean, the only thing that doesn't hold up really is the fact it was made in the 80s.
Well, but that's not something that ruins it outright, though.
Oh, like, no.
It's a movie that takes place in 1987 when it was made.
Oh, no.
As long as you're aware of that, it's still a funny movie.
Well, I'm not actually bashing that. I'm just saying that's the only thing that probably ages it a little bit. Everything else holds up. The comedy holds up. The timing holds up.
But my point is the 80s. It doesn't have to hold up. It just becomes like a time capsule.
Yeah,
but I guess I should. It holds up to modern sensibilities still. You could say in modern sensibilities it's dialed back because it's. This is family friendly versus what they would do with a newer version of this would not be a movie you could take your kids to.
Well, you know, there's a couple of jokes in there they would have refrained from having these days.
Well, there is a section in there where Steve Martin is just saying fuck like every half sentence.
Yeah, but that's one section, though. But I mean,
you really want to take your kid to that when Steve Martin's doing that?
I think you could,
to be
I
mean, it's better than Bobcat. This wasn't supposed to be a kid's movie.
No, it's not a kid's movie, but I think compared to some of the movies these days that call themselves comedies, this is more family-friendly. Just solely because of the fact it's in the 80s. Minus the fuck scene.
It's an R-rated comedy. What do you...
Apparently nobody had parents like I did, because, you know, I probably saw this in theaters.
I mean, I'm just saying it's not one that, you know, I mean...
Well, it's not the first one on...
Father and the Bride before you do this one.
Oh, no, for, I don't disagree. I don't
family friendly.
I don't disagree, but I think this is more family friendly, mainly because... Maybe it's because most modern comedies have to use potty humor and stuff like that. That wasn't so much in this movie like it is then. There only one scene I remember was the... It was kind of the lowbrow with John Candy's clothes in the sink.
Oh, that's the socks?
Socks and the underwear. I think that's the only bit. There might have been a couple other spots, but there wasn't a lot where, you know, toilet humor going blue was kind of was in there.
Toilet humor going blue? What are you, fucking 90 years old?
Just like, sure. Wow.
You know.
That's a weird reference to bring up.
I heard it on an episode of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Really?
No.
Going blue.
But, you know, I mean, as far as the odd couple type of film, I don't think it's one that's really out there. I only picked it for the holiday factor of it. But, you know, even still, I just think it's just an average one for the time. I mean, this one really wasn't one of those like big blockbuster films. I mean, the top billing cast at the time were really huge. Was, you know, Steve Martin and John Candy, which were big sellers at the time.
I think this movie, I do think this movie is going to hold up over time, just solely because of the fact of how it's done, how it's written, how it's not as vulgar. It's still rated R, and it earns its R, but I think modern comedies, especially like The Hangover, they earn their R for stupid reasons. Everything they do in this movie, at least every gag, has a reason, has a point-to-point.
Well, it's situational comedy. That's really what this whole film is.
But everything has a reason.
It's situational things happening instead of just goofy things just going on.
Well, The Hangover's you could probably call a situational, but it's just so ridiculous. And I don't like, well, for one, if you've been watching the show, you realize I don't like comedies. And, well, hey, you're going to have to live with it.
Yeah, especially comedies with blue material.
Thanks.
Jeez. Just stop teasing them so much and they won't be blue. Yeah, I just did that.
I have no comment.
Most people don't.
There are a couple of good, like, my favorite scene in this movie is probably one, because I can totally see it happening, is the scene where John Candy is trying to take off his coat, where he flips
driving?
Yeah, he flicks the cigarette in his back, in the back seat. He's trying to take off his coat and both hands are stuck. You know, the whole scene with the car, I thought was actually pretty entertaining.
Well, I like the fact that he went out there and Steve Martin actually got the car to start. That was actually impressive. I mean,
right after that much damage,
that is one hell of a car. You know,
my favorite part.
Yeah, they don't build them like they used to.
Yeah, and they took it off a freaking diner credit card.
I love that too. Oh, this will buff right out. And is that the same car as the Griswolds?
No, I mean, they had a wagon.
That was definitely not the family truckster.
You know, but I mean, I guess it came from the same manufacturing plant, though.
It's basically the same.
I mean, built to last.
No kidding.
I don't know. I mean, as far as I was concerned, I was just going with a, you know, classic. This would be one of the classics of that era that came out. It's not one of the big, best ones that came out at the time. I mean, like I said, if I was going to pick one from that era, it'd be See No Evil, Hear No Evil, which is one of the top ones of that time. But I don't know. I just think it was subpar. Not horrible.
I think it's on point.
I'm a fan of the formula. Just, hey, two guys who don't like each other, who would never otherwise hang out, are stuck with each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that's worked since time immemorial. You know, and every time they do one of these movies, it's 100% dependent on the two people they pick for it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the reason that I always bring up a due date which is, I mean, almost a 1-to-1 remake, you know, of that exact formula, just with updated shit. But it works because Robert Downey and Galifianakis are bloody hilarious together. And Steve Martin, when he's reacting off of the shenanigans from John Candy, nobody plays stuck up asshole like Steve Martin.
I will give you that.
He's really got it down.
I would say I'll give you that. I would say a lovable stuck up asshole though.
I never had
well,
love for him.
Endearing at a certain point when it comes down to it, you can still find yourself liking him. You know?
Yeah.
I think that only happens at the end of this movie. When they have their
totally,
feel good moment.
The funniest
he is an insufferable prick the entire movie.
So the funniest thing is I could actually empathize with him the whole time. Like he just wants to get home and there's this guy who keeps like mooching off him and stealing from him. Like as a kid, I totally liked John Candy. As an adult, I'm like, fuck John Candy. I totally agree with Steve Martin. He's just trying to get home.
But also the type of person that John Candy is now we're getting into the philosophy. The type of person that John Candy is, he's probably never met anybody who wasn't kind of charmed by his jovial sort of nature, you know. So then he runs into this, you know, really sort of stick up his ass New Yorker, and he can't believe that there's anybody out there who can tolerate this guy.
Did you guys catch the scene at the end on the train where Steve Martin's starting to talk that girl's ear off?
Oh, yeah.
That's another scene that I thought was hilarious. I thought that was a really good throw-in scene.
Well.
Did you catch that scene at the end? No, that's when I got up to go take a piss in the theater.
Hey, you could have, for all I know. It could have been, you know, somebody was knocking on your door. I mean,
it's the one time in the last 15 years I haven't just lost a movie and gone done something.
Hey, this is like the second or third time I've seen this movie, so.
I think third for me.
It's not exactly a movie that I've ever gone out of my way to see. Like, hey, let's watch this movie.
It's
like this movie or Full Frontal Lobotomy. I guess I'll watch this movie.
I mean, they actually do have Outpatient for that now.
Work great for one of the Kennedys. I don't know. I still, this movie for what it is, I think still holds up really well. It's not my favorite movie, especially now, but I'm sticking with a 3.5 because I actually think it deserves it for what it is. It does really well. And I agree with Ryan. This formula works when you pick the right people. And it was spot on with this movie.
I'm not going over a 3. I just, as far as I'm concerned, there's better ones out there than this one. So this one is just middle of the road for me on that. I mean, I just really can't justify going over it because as far as I'm concerned, I mean, it's just a normal John Candy role and just a normal Steve Martin role. They really didn't do anything outside of their repertoire.
But I think that's why this movie works, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean,
I think that's precisely why they cast, hey, get me that guy that does that thing. Hey, get me that other guy that does that other thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And John's right. Canadian Bacon was actually John Candy's last film. Cool Runnings was Four Away, but actually Canadian Bacon came out a year after he died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, because realistically, why would you release the movie the year the guy died? I just don't see it making any money, especially then when his career was kind of waning.
I mean, Michael Jackson jokes started happening 5 minutes before he died.
Oh.
Yeah, people were released movies the year that they died all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're dead.
Yeah, I think with
him, they're not going to benefit off the royalties.
I think for John Candy, because I think his career was waning, so I think it was better. I think when they released it a year later, I remember when the Canadian Bacon came out, I actually passed on it. But people were like, oh, John Candy, I loved that guy.
I didn't
like
Canadian Bacon, actually.
I've never seen it.
It really wasn't that. It wasn't his best. Still prefer Cool Runnings.
So, Brian, what do you get? You sticking with or changing?
I'm still actually sticking with the 3.5. I mean, it's definitely got its flaws.
Oh yeah.
You know, but it's for one, it's a Thanksgiving movie. How many Thanksgiving movies are there? It's got lines that still hold up, and it's from an actual era where this sort of thing
could happen.
Was funnier because of the lack of access to information and had the lengths that one had to go through to rectify those types of situations. Yeah. Is not as easy as it is today.
This is true. Now somebody would just dial up Uber.
So you can sit there with your kids and be like, now listen, Billy, back in the day, we couldn't just pick up our phone in our pocket. We had to go to the thing attached to the wall.
Thanks, Mr. Brady.
Yeah, exactly. There isn't 14 bearded hipsters waiting around the corner for me to push a button on my phone.
Smoking out of an electronic vapor. Cigarette.
Do they have B12 vapors now?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's going to be like, wait, what's the fat guy smoking? Like, that's called a cigarette, honey.
So now we're going to switch over to the TV show. So James, batter up.
I picked Murdoch Mysteries. This was off of our number fifth, whatever person hanging out there somewhere, Amber.
My girlfriend wandering around the background usually.
Yeah. She's the better half.
So this was just one of her suggestions, and I checked it out, and...
See, she's not on the show, and she actually does homework.
It was kind of interesting because what this takes place in is the time when Tesla and Edison were arguing and fighting over the AC and DC wars.
Technically, it was Westinghouse and Edison.
I'm just putting it out there. Anyways, layman's terms, John. Layman's terms for dumbasses, okay?
Get it right.
Anyways, so that was just based off that and the fact that there was sabotage that killed one of the people, and they went into the
Do they show them electrocuting animals and all that?
That's exactly what they were going to do, and then this PETA group supposedly got in the mix, and they were thinking that was them, but it didn't end up being them, and it was all stock.
Oh, wow.
Stock exchange shit. But anyways, I actually thought it was kind of interesting the way that they based it in the time period, and kind of they went into some interesting science into what was going on. My whole thought through the whole thing was I would have liked to have hung out with Tesla.
So did
I
they?
I think he's an interesting guy.
Did they show the characters lovable or more how they were in real life? Because Edison apparently was a real dick.
Well, they didn't
apparently
really
so was
go
Edison,
into
but,
too much
about Tesla.
They didn't go too much into the actual background of the characters, but they did portray Tesla as a very eccentric type of person, which
he
is
was very,
actually
yeah,
who he was.
He was a little off.
So that was kind of an interesting thing. But
how did they show Edison?
They didn't really have Edison too much, and it was more of the Westinghouse type of guys going around.
Okay, because it was so. Westinghouse and Westinghouse basically got Tesla's. Well,
yeah.
Read them up. It's,
yeah,
it's
all history. You can go and look.
It's
at
pretty
it.
Interesting.
It's all on Wikipedia now. You
Tesla invented a alternating current.
Yeah. Well, he didn't invent it. He just discovered it.
He improved it.
I mean, come on.
He's kind of the,
was there beforehand.
He's kind of like the Ford of electricity.
He just
kind of
put a copper wire and made it go. Anyways, so it was. It was kind of an interesting thing, but it was kind of, it was campy.
So where do you catch this if you want to watch it?
Internet?
I have no idea. I believe it's still on
Canadian.
Netflix.
I think it's on BBC Canada, I believe. Right?
I think a lot of them are still on Netflix.
Actually, no, they weren't.
Yeah,
they took them off.
It is Canadian produced.
Yeah. So
really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not on Netflix anymore, but I think you still probably pick up old episodes on BBC Canada. So,
okay.
It's a decent one.
Yeah, very, very, very well produced. Yeah. And if people are kind of a fan of the era, so to speak, it's actually kind of a fun show. Sort of part procedural, sort of NCIS kind of vibe to it a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of an NCIS, but Murdoch kind of is like the Matlock or
Matlock? And you say I bring up old references. What the fuck?
You don't know who Matlock is?
Yes, what are you going
to
bring up? Diagnosis Murder next?
He used to be Andy Griffith.
I'm just saying, you're giving me crap for bringing up old
Red-headed
references.
Stepchild. Anyways, I forgot where I was going with this damn thing. Anyways, but it's kind of like a... kind of a feel-good murder mystery type shit. That's all.
So, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, you can catch us on Facebook.com/RealFlixReviews. If you have a movie you'd love us to do or an opinion, please share. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more.
Anyways.
So Jude Law heads for Captain Marvel, and the crowd goes...
What?
Yeah.
Jude Law? They picked...
Really? So let me go in the article. I am so over superhero movies. It's not even funny.
I don't like Jude Law for that.
Every time I think I'm getting sick of superhero movies, I hear something like that The Rock is going to be playing Shazam, and then I'm right back in.
I would be down for that.
Apparently, we're being attacked
by cats.
So
you know, I'd be down for The Rock to play Shazam.
No, because he's not playing. He's playing the Black Adam.
Oh yeah, I heard that rumor too.
I can never remember that character's name. So it looks like Jude Law is actually heading for the movie.
Is he playing a bad guy?
Yeah,
I'd be down with that.
I have to. Unfortunately, the internet's really slow right now, so it's not working.
The Rock is playing Black Adam, or Jude Law's playing Black Adam?
The Rock.
The Rock's playing Black Adam.
Yeah, and Channing Tatum is a Yeti in the Smallfoot teaser trailer. It's another project I've never heard of by a guy I don't actually care all that much about.
Who?
Channing Tatum. He's
still alive?
That dude has grown on me.
Like a tumor? Or a cyst? Yeah. Or was it a gummy bear?
The first one.
Oh, okay.
I got to give the guy credit, though.
Nice reference.
I got to give the guy the credit, though. He definitely seems to change it up, though. He tries to keep himself relevant, so I can't give him that much crap for getting paydays, but he's just not my favorite actor.
Yeah. So
I mean, you know, the dude started as a fucking dancer.
True.
I'm still unimpressed.
Was that Magic Mike thing?
Yeah, something like that.
I think initially he was from that Step Up fucking movie, and then did the Magic Mike shit.
So he So he played opposite of the guy who played Super Shredder. Fascinating.
Sure.
So, Kevin Nash, a professional wrestler, he's in that movie.
So you're a fan of Master and Commander, right, John?
Never. I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list of movies.
Wow. Ryan? The Russell Crowe flick?
Master and Commander is that the one with Russell Crowe?
Yeah, Far Side of the World.
The ship?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And he loves his cabin boys, which apparently he does in real life as well.
He's teasing that he might actually be doing a sequel to it.
I doubt they're going to let...
You know, it was actually I was not a fan of Russell Crowe at this time.
Do you think they're going to let him have cabin boys?
Maybe cabin fever. I wasn't a fan of him at that time, but... I kind of had respect for him, and I actually checked it out. It's not a bad film.
I've always liked Russell Crowe. I originally started liking him in the Denzel Washington movie Virtuosity. He wasn't like my favorite, but he was always an actor. Like if I saw him in the movie, it would be like, yeah, let's check it out.
Until he did A Beautiful Mind, I thought he was a shit actor.
I just think he didn't find the perfect role.
I just love the South Park parodies of Russell Crowe when he's fighting around the world.
Oh, yes. I love that part.
Fucking great.
So Disney is getting sued because of the song, the Frozen song, Let It Go. Apparently somebody's saying, hey, that's a copy of my song, so Disney's getting sued over it.
Wait, what?
Disney, well, they can afford it.
What song?
Was it Menzel and Lovato get sued over Frozen song, Let It Go? It's Disney basically getting sued for one of their most famous songs. It's come probably out of the last decade.
I would say more than a decade.
Probably. Yeah.
But are we going back to like the Vanilla Ice bullshit? Like, I mean, is it the lyrics? Is it the harmony?
I haven't heard the original song, but it wouldn't be surprising considering there's pretty much no such thing as an original tune these days. I mean, everything's a copy of a copy of a copy of something. I mean, if you look hard enough. The question is, like, how similar is it? Because Vanilla Ice's whole thing was, oh, no, Under Pressure's ding, 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 ding. And, you know, his was ding, 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 you know.
It
was the same.
It was the same.
So he just bought the rights to Under Pressure. Now everything's fine.
No, he made the song and then basically had a lawsuit where Queen got most of it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he actually bought, the last interview I heard of him, he said he actually bought the rights to Under Pressure.
Yeah.
Which amazed me.
And he doesn't let anybody play Ice Ice Baby, really, anymore.
Which, oh, because he's a crap rapper. He's a death metal guy now. He's a screamo.
I have no idea.
Well, now he's a carpenter.
Oh. he is. Is he doing one of those, like, DIY shows or some shit now?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, but, you know, I mean, I never really cared to begin with it.
So, really another one to squeeze in real quick. Sony wins Quentin Tarantino's next film. That kind of surprised me.
What film is he doing?
I think it's the one that's based off of, is it Charles Manson?
Oh. All right. Oh, did you know that they're doing a Griselda Blanco movie?
No.
Yeah, it's going to come out in like January.
Interesting.
It's like Salma Hayek's in it.
Is she playing her?
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm actually really want to see this one.
I'm not sure how much I'd want to do a movie based. Well, I don't know. It just seems like if you screw up, you're going to end up with a horse head in your bed. Doesn't seem like
so.
Anyways.
So Kill Bill Volume 3 was announced.
Oh, really?
Seriously?
The whole bloody affair? Or
don't know if it's going to be the bloody affair like we've been waiting for 10 years.
25 years? No, not 10 years. Like 25. Feels like it, right?
It's 15, probably.
God, Jesus Christ. Asshole.
Yeah, no particular plot, no title, just apparently announced according to IMDb.
I'm curious in how exactly so it's going to be a new story. There's no way you can add something to that movie unless it's about a separate character.
Yeah. Well, I think the theory from the beginning was it was going to be Vernita Green, her daughter. Vernita Green was the first one that she killed, played by Vivica Fox.
Yeah.
And remember, her daughter comes in and watches her fucking stab her mom in the chest.
Mm. Honestly, that sounds, I don't know. It just sounds kind of stupid personally. I mean, I get it, but
Well, I mean,
right.
it's a very classic kung fu type of story. You know, the young child witnesses the murder of their parents and then grows up only seeking revenge, you know?
Yeah, no. I'll watch it, maybe. Depends on what Tarantino says.
You're going to fucking watch it. Don't pretend like a Tarantino movie is going to come out and you're going to be like, I'm going to skip it.
I haven't actually seen Tarantino's last one. I never will.
You haven't seen Hateful Eight? Why?
He made some comments I vehemently disagreed with, so I refused to see it.
What? That's the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Let's just say Tarantino was being incredibly stupid, and because of his comments, it made me not want to watch it. I'll tell you off air.
What's fucking new? It's Tarantino. He's like the most outspoken dude around.
Well, I'll tell you off air what he said that pissed me off.
So had you never heard these random comments that he made to some interviewer, you would have watched this movie never being the wiser.
Yeah, but this was actually pretty famous. This was all over the news. You'd literally have to be deaf not to run into these. You'd even then probably hear about it.
All right. Well, on that note, Ryan, did you pick a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
Okay.
And
just gonna sit here in suspense.
You want to know it? Okay. I mean, I guess. It's a flick that a buddy of mine's actually been telling me to watch for quite a while, and I haven't gotten around to it yet. But it's supposed to be great. Whiplash.
Oh. All right.
Okay.
That works for me.
And James?
I've been debating which one I'm actually going to be picking on this one. We're going to be doing another Netflix original. And I think the one we're going to go with, I kind of don't want to end it on this one, is Season 1, Episode 7 of The Punisher.
Hmm.
So, kind of want to do the last episode, but I don't want to throw people in like, why is he doing that to that guy?
Well, it is kind of, you know, what we do. It's never stopped us in the past.
Yeah, but episode 7, though, wouldn't
spoil anything.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm thinking, like, you know, like 7, 8, or 9, it's not really to the point where you grasp the whole of everything.
But we're going to be ruining everything from 7 to 1, but just not...
shit.
Yeah, if you want to skip all the exposition and go right to Frank Castle doing some crazy shit, then watch just episode 7.
Yeah. I mean, the first couple episodes are really good, but it's gripping story and buildup. That's it. I mean, you're not going to be like, wow.
Some people just...
like, I want to watch the next episode now. But if you watch this one, you're going to be like, holy shit, what the hell happened?
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
I do.
And ladies and gentlemen, I gave the movie Trains, Planes, and Automobiles a 3.5 out of 5. James gave it a 3. Ryan gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Next week is Netflix original, The Punisher, Season 1, Episode 8?
7.
7. And ladies and gentlemen, next week's movie is Whiplash. And as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.